We're back. You're listening to Money Talks, Atlanta's longest-running, most respected money show on radio. Matt Hames here with Nick Antonucci, Troy Harmon, Jarrett McKenzie, the CFP.
The? Well, he is the CFP on this show for sure.
Yes, he is.
Yeah.
You're
true.
The CFA.
I guess I am.
Sure.
Yeah.
Nick, you and I are just lucky to be here, man.
Just proud to be here.
Proud to be an American.
Hey, here we go. All right, well, let's do a case study real quick here, and this comes up from time to time, especially this time of year. Jarrett, you know, we got a situation where, again, hypothetical situation is an example that we often run into, but basically here's the question. You've got a husband and a wife. Wife's been working. Husband's been staying at home for some number of years and started working again. The wife decided to fund her 401k to the max, but was depositing some in her Roth 401k, but stopped when she saw that her tax bracket was going up. And they filed joint tax returns,
mm-hmm.
and she has advised her husband to contribute to his 401k up to the employer's match, but then what? Should he max out his 401k? Since we're now in a higher tax bracket, probably be in a lower tax bracket in retirement. How should he think about this? What's the priority rank for somebody like this, trying to figure out where to save?
Well, I definitely think she's off to the right start. I mean, if there is an employer match available, it definitely makes sense to get as much as you can into the plan so that you maximize those dollars. But, you know, once you've gotten the match, you know, depending on whether or not you've got other dollars elsewhere, it does make sense to start to diversify your tax strategy a little bit and start to make some contributions either to the Roth portion of that 401k or an individual Roth IRA as well. And so once you've done both of those, we generally say that it's good to go back and get as many tax-deferred dollars in place as you can. So going back to contributing to that 401 after you've gotten some into your Roth as well. And then, you know, if you max it out and there's still savings available to invest, then we generally say you might look to the taxable accounts so that you've got some access there if you need them without having a penalty.
Yeah, so the match is free money, right? I mean, it's pretty
right.
Common knowledge. I mean, it's foolish not to take that. So that's 100% return on whatever you get for that. So match first, then Roth, because that's tax-free. You're putting after-tax money in a Roth, and it's growing tax-free.
Right.
And then come back, fill up the 401k from there.
Mm-hmm.
Once you've done that, if you can still afford to save more,
that's right.
Then
go
to the brokerage account.
Ultimately, what this comes down to is really you're forecasting what your tax rate is going to be in retirement relative
sure.
to what it is today.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
if you've got if you're in higher tax brackets today, and you assume that your situation will change over time, and in retirement you will have a lower tax bracket, actually it might make more sense for you not to deal with Roth as much,
mm-hmm.
Although, I mean, who doesn't like tax-exempt
sure.
savings?
Sure.
That's right.
You still have to pay tax on it before you get it there. So
I
know I've seen the calculations and this debate actually put forth, and that's really what it shakes out to be. What is your tax rate today, and what will it be tomorrow? And, of course, none of us know what tomorrow is going to bring, but that's kind of what you do. But
right.
actually, the type of assets that you hold in those two different types of accounts matter a lot as well.
Yes, they do.
So if you're being taxed on all of your income, you want to probably avoid things like dividends.
That's right.
And go for stocks that you know are going to be stable for a longer period of time. So, you know, probably being a little more conservative, not going out trying to catch the high-flying tech stock that we all know how tech goes. You know, just a few years ago, there was no such animal as Google, and now it's
mm-hmm.
turned into something huge, and it's changed
yeah.
its name to Alphabet and still, you know, continues to run well. But you see quite often they cannibalize themselves and surely cannibalize each other. So picking stocks that have been around a long time, companies like GE and, mm-hmm. and Johnson & Johnson,
Pepsi
mm-hmm. those that have long-term developed operations, long-term developed earnings,
mm-hmm.
Quite often they'll pay a dividend, which kind of works against you. But still, you know, that's the kind of stock that you want to seek in your taxable account if you're trying to go through a strategy like this. And then, you know, with your either tax-deferred or tax-exempt accounts,
mm-hmm.
Then you can go in and buy those high-flying stocks that you might want to be tempted more to trade, you know, throughout time.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Those that have really big dividends, things like that, so that you're
potential
not having
for
to
big
pay
gains,
tax.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right, yeah. And it's about the realized gain. It's not about, you know, if you get an old stock like IBM, another one of those techs that, you know, used to be basically the king of tech.
Yeah.
And we've seen how it's done lately. It hasn't been very good, but there's a lot of people that still have huge gains, even though you're losing 11% on a year like last year.
Right.
You know, you still might have a huge gain in a stock like that. You sell it in a taxable account, and guess what? Uncle Sam gets to you invite him to the picnic, right?
Yep.
So it's better to try to avoid those, you know, situations and think about it before you buy the stock.
Yeah. Jared, something you mentioned also got me thinking. Obviously, each situation is different. These two individuals are in their 40s. Mm-hmm. But, you know, your age comes into play a lot with it. You mentioned, you know, the contributing last to that brokerage account because there's no penalty on withdrawing those assets. For someone younger who's just starting out and is trying to build some sort of savings, you want to be careful that you're not contributing everything that you're trying to save to a retirement account where if something comes up, an emergency that you have nothing but those retirement accounts, and you're forced to, you know, dip into those, and you pay a penalty on top of it.
Yeah, no, there's pros and cons definitely both ways. I mean, the biggest pro with the traditional IRAs and the traditional 401ks is that, you know, you're getting those tax-deferred dollars growing in that manner for as long as possible, whereas some of those cons come in exactly what you just said. I mean, with the potential for not being able to access those funds if you need them, I mean, that can create some real problems, especially those for those people who are younger. And so some of the things we look at for these younger folks is it typically makes more sense for them to do the Roth conversions when they're younger because they've got more time to make back that tax implication. And when you're talking about the conversions and the contributions to Roth IRAs, that does make sense more times than not for younger folks than it does for the elderly just because of the time that they've got to essentially break even on that
tax implication. And quite often their tax rates are lower when they're younger as well.
So, And just to sort of cap off that emergency reserve conversation there, Nick, you know, you'll hear a lot that popular advice is, you know, 3 to 6 months worth of your spending or living expenses set aside, but it also has got a lot to do with, you know, how replaceable is your income, right?
Sure.
So if you've got a job, you're going to have a hard time replacing the type of work that you do. You know, you just need to think
about
that.
Might need a little longer.
Yeah, yeah.
All material presented is compiled from sources believed to be reliable and current, but accuracy cannot be guaranteed. The contents are intended for general information purposes only. Information provided should not be the sole basis in making any decisions and is not intended to replace the advice of a qualified professional, such as a tax consultant, insurance advisor, or attorney. Although this material is designed to provide accurate and authoritative information with respect to the subject matter, it may not apply in all situations. This is not to be construed as an offer to buy or sell any financial instruments. It is not our intention to state, indicate, or imply in any manner that current or past results are indicative of future profitability or expectations. Portfolio holdings discussed are subject to change. There is no guarantee that in the future these securities will be held in Hensler accounts. As with all investments, there are associated inherent risks. Please obtain and review all financial material carefully before investing. Hensler is not licensed to offer or sell insurance products. This overview is not to be construed as an offer to purchase any insurance products.